Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The first year, you go 12-4, you win a division, you get to the playoffs, and it's new for a lot of people on that team. And then last year, the way it felt when you weren't in it, and now this year to be back in it. So, you know, to be able to have a chance to be in the tournament, in that dance for two out of the 3 years, is what these guys have worked for. And again, you know, do we want to have a better year? Absolutely. Do we want to win a division? Absolutely. We love to do that every single year and have a bye, but we don't. But you know, every year is different, and these guys found a way to get to it. And now, you know, now you go through this whole week of practice, and now we're going to have an opportunity to see what we're made of on Sunday.
You all know the sound of Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy's voice by now. That was him earlier this week talking about the opportunity today, the feeling of the team as far as getting in the way they did and finding a way to now move past it and prepare. So, guys, we're going to be with Mark Grody in probably about 5-10 minutes. We are waiting for the final announcement of actives and inactives. They are due 90 minutes before kickoff, so that technically is not until 2:10. We should have that for everybody in a few minutes. You know, we've talked so much about the Saints offense because it is so scary, and yet the Saints defense has been interesting. They are very highly ranked, but they haven't always played as high as their rankings. They are tough to run on. And yet the Bears had a pretty good day running on them week 8 before they had really, you know, revamped the offensive line and changed some of the run game scheme. They came up just short. Well, actually, for as a team, went just over 100 yards, averaged 4.1 a pop. David Montgomery had 21 carries for 89 yards. They're obviously running the football much better now. As we said at the top of the show, Pat, they will be without Trey Hendrickson, which is huge because he's been their best pass rusher. But the flip side of it is when you think about what Jermon was talking about, Jermon Bushrod, we visited with him, Where Are They Now, about how really dominant Cameron Jordan can be. And he's going to be on the left side most of the time. They'll probably have Marcus Davenport over on their right side against Charles Leno. And so Jermaine Ifedi, who has now moved out to tackle and has been more effective for the Bears with his run blocking, his pass protection not quite as solid, that's going to be a huge part of the challenge for the Bears offense.
Yeah, it's just that defense is pretty darn good too, and they're opportunistic. The back end as well, you know, will take some chances, which could maybe help the Bears out, but they have a lot of takeaways. They're doing a great job with that, so... this defense is going to be a big challenge, and it's like I said earlier, they flipped their numbers. They were not as good the first 5 weeks, and now they're a pretty darn good defense. And the biggest thing too is their takeaways. They get the ball back, and they get it to Drew Brees and that offense, and let them do their things. But it's a big test for this offense today. They're going to have to play, like I said, a perfect game, and it's unfortunate to say that, but that's just where they are talent wise against this team, and they're going to have to execute. They can't have penalties. They can't turn the ball over. And for them to get the win, they're just going to have to do that, and they're going to have to somehow, you know, figure out a way to keep Mitch Trubisky upright. But they've been doing a good job of that of late, and like you said, without Hendrickson, that's a big help there. But Cam Jordan is pretty tough on the opposite side.
Yeah, and you know, they go against what ended up being the number 4 defense in the NFL this year, right, Hub? And they haven't performed well with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback against top-rated defenses. And you know, interestingly enough, Foles is you know, five out of his seven starts were against playoff teams. Mitch, only two of them out of his nine, and, you know, those two were the Packers games, which didn't end up very well. But they're going to have to run the ball well today. The defense, you know, it's interesting to me because the game plan you have for them and Mitch Trubisky at quarterback is the safe game plan, right, Pat? To run the ball, yeah. Protect Mitch, don't make him throw the ball all over, or you'll probably end up with an interception. Well, with the way the defense is playing, you could end up in a shootout today. And with all these guys on the field, and the one thing about New Orleans, the last time they were here, Emmanuel Sanders, Michael Thomas, and I think Marquez Callaway, their other receiver, was also hurt and didn't play very much. So they didn't have a lot of guys on the field. They have all these guys back today. The Bears defense is going to have to play really, really well. And we just keep coming back to that pass rush. But that front, you know, the one thing that I want to ask you about, Hub, you know, I know you're up there at Hallis Hall. Any talk about how ready Bobby Massey is? I wonder if Cam Jordan starts taking it to a Fetty. Will we see Bobby Massey today?
You know, I didn't see a roster move to bring him back off injured reserve, so I don't think that's a possibility.
Oh, okay.
I can't. Don't quote me on that, though. I may have missed it earlier in the week. But I know when asked about him, and we've been asking Matt Nagy and Juan Castillo, when we talked to him about it regularly, they've said he's been making progress, but at no point have they said that, yeah, he's ready to go. So I think that would be a pretty big surprise if he was able to go. And it would be promising, you know, kind of like a Fetty. His strong suit is also his run blocking, but he is more solid, I think, in pass protection than a Fetty is. He also needs help at times. But at the end of the day, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to give Mitch time. And this comes back to what we were talking about before, Olin. Pat and I were saying this is another reason that I really want to see Mitch, not thinking run first. You can't play quarterback in the NFL and think run first. But hopefully he is not going to be hesitant, and he's going to have to read the field quick. And you know, if they don't, if they get the pressure on him, then I'd like to see him use his legs, because that's probably the best way to slow down that pass rush.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you have an example right there in Buffalo, what Allen does with his legs and when he throws the ball all over the place. And their OC yesterday even used him a bunch of times on quarterback draw, spread the field out. And just for Mitch to be a dangerous quarterback in the NFL, he has to make that a part of his game. He has to start using his athleticism, using his size, and put, he's going to have to put his body in harm's way, especially if today turns into a shootout, which it very well could with the way the Bears defense is playing.
And if it's as obvious to us, and we're talking about this, I'm hoping the coaches are talking to them this way during this week, because you go back and you watch that Eagles tape, like we said earlier, about Jalen Hurts and how he hurt the New Orleans Saints defense. You got to beat him on the edge, and hopefully he pulls it and gets some runs there. But, you know, he's going to have to use his legs, Hub, and you're right. That's going to be the key to it, and just hopefully he can stay healthy and upright after taking some of those hits. And I'm just, again, hoping the coaches are pushing that as well, because that's got to be a key to this game plan to beat this defense.
Just 4 seconds into the fourth quarter, and the Tennessee Titans just had a game-tying drive stall at the goal line, third and goal. They were able, the Ravens were able to stop them. The Titans convert a chip shot field goal. That game now 17-13, just as I said, 4 seconds into the fourth quarter, so still plenty of football to play. Four games so far, every one of them highly competitive, and that certainly is what you hope for from the Chicago Bears in New Orleans today. Guys, special teams. Pat talked to Tabes, Chris Tabor, on Thursday. One of the other things, you can talk about the Saints getting healthy. They've been without Harris, their kick returner, punt and kick returner, one of the better ones in the league. He is supposed to be back today as well after missing five games and be healthy. I think the Bears probably still have a slight edge in the return game because of Cordarrelle Patterson. They probably have an edge over almost anybody. But the Saints, with a couple of veteran kickers, Morstead the punter, they play pretty good special teams. I'm not sure, is there an edge here one way or the other that you see?
This is their biggest battle. And Olin, you talked about it. I think you watched the tape last time they played. So I'll start with this. Darren Rizzi's their special teams coordinator, and he's one that I think very highly of. He's a guy that I knew going against him, he would always have a very good game plan. He is a guy that has his guys play really hard. I mean, there's some units that, you know, you watch the Packers, they're not great, and part of it is effort. But Darren Rizzi is a great schemer, and he also gets the guys playing very, very hard. And he has some weapons. That Deontay Harris is special. I think he had a 30-something yard punt return last time they played the Bears. So he's always a threat to take it to the house, either it's kick returner or a punt returner. And then the other one is Taysom Hill. You know, obviously he's their little gadget on offense at quarterback and wildcat quarterback and all that stuff. But he is excellent in the return game, and especially in the punt rush. And Olin, you brought up a Ryan Nall's game last time they played. I think you put on the tape and watched how difficult it was to block Taysom Hill. And he uses him as his Swiss Army knife, where wherever he sees the weakness in the punt team, he's going to put Taysom Hill, and he's going to be his penetrator and try to block kicks that way. But they are very good. I don't know if there is an edge either way. This, to me, would go 50-50 because of Cordarrelle Patterson and then Darren Rizzi and his scheme and some of the stuff they do. So this is going to be a good battle. And I talked about it last week. That's another time that, you know, I think the Bears could use the special teams to gain an extra possession, maybe run some sort of fake, get a turnover like they did last week against the Packers. So this is a big matchup.
It is, man. And like you're saying, Pat, That return was big last night, that 30-plus return by Harris, because they tied the game up after that, right? And it was 13-13, and they put them in position. Obviously, the defense held, and they still kicked the field goal. But special teams is going to be really big today. I mean, if you design a way the Bears can win today, you're thinking about some kind of pick six from the defense like the Rams had yesterday, right? And you're thinking about special teams either score or set up a score. And even then, you can see Drew Brees with the ball in his hands at the end of the game, and then our pass rush has to show up. So that's the kind of breaks the Chicago Bears are going to need today. I mean, it's not impossible, but every unit's going to have to play really, really good.
Olin, Cairo Santos is the hottest kicker in the NFL right now, and certainly you guys had stretches where Robbie was the same way. What did that do for you as an offense, knowing that if you could get inside the 40, inside the 35, that there were points that it was almost money in the bank?
Yeah, it just really pissed you off when everybody kept talking about the kicker kicking the field goal. You know what I mean? Because it means you weren't
I
very
love
good.
The special teams.
You
talk.
Weren't very
this is
good
awesome.
In the red zone, Pat. You know, we right. meant we weren't very
oh, I gotcha.
Good. It,
I gotcha.
It meant we weren't very good in the red zone. Yeah. And then the kicker was getting all this credit. That's why Robbie became so popular in Chicago, because we couldn't put the damn ball in the end zone. But no, Cairo Santos had a great year. Unless I miss my guess here, Pat, today, I think they're going to need touchdowns. I think you're going to see them go for it on fourth down a bunch like they did last week. I think they ended up 5 for 6, just knowing that they needed touchdowns against Aaron Rodgers, because like we keep talking about, the thing that we all have to clear our mind from is the fact that we maybe do have the offense we've been wanting all this time with our defense, but we don't have that defense anymore.
Guys, the inactives are now available. We're going to have Mark Rohde in just a moment, but the news that I expected, but I guess we didn't want to hear, Jalon Johnson will be out again as well. The three guys that you were, I think, the most concerned about, all starters, Roquan Smith, certainly Darnell Mooney we've talked about, and now Jalon Johnson, all three will be out. And so hopefully... Kendall Vildor, they've activated Marquis Christian, a safety. Duke Shelley, we know, is going to see a lot of time at the nickel. I think we may see a little bit more of Deion Bush if he is active. I got to check with Mark in that nickel spot. So this is a challenge. I mean, if the Bears are going to get this done, they're going to have to do it without three of their starters. And as we go to Mark Rohde, I just saw something that you almost never see. Justin Tucker, arguably the best kicker in the NFL, just went wide right by about 3 inches. So this continues to be a 17-13 game between the Ravens and the Titans. Ravens on top in Tennessee. Tennessee now getting the ball back with about 10 minutes left to play. Let us welcome in Mark Rohde. Like us, Mark is on the couch and not on the field today, but certainly has been all over the Bears players, coaches, covering the beat all week long, and has the actives and inactives for us. Mark, I've already told our listeners that Jalon Johnson is out, have not really looked at the rest of the list yet. So tell us who's in, who's out, and what it looks like.
Yeah, right. And it definitely bears repeating that Jalen Johnson was out. I had thought that they were going to at least give it a shot with Jalen Johnson based on the fact that he did participate, albeit in a very limited capacity in practice this week. I thought that that was a good sign that he may give it a go. But Jalen Johnson is out, along with, as we already know, and I know you said this, Hub, but Buster Skrine, Darnell Mooney out. You knew that Roquan Smith would be out. The others are Latavius Simmons, Daniel McCullers, and Travis Gibson. So now we turn to the guys that are active, because that becomes a more interesting proposition. Manti Te'o is active. He was recently elevated from the practice squad to the real roster. He will be in uniform. It doesn't guarantee any playing time, but Manti Te'o will be available to play football for the Bears today. It also means that a guy that you and I, Hub, have wondered about all year long, and every time his name comes up, we wonder why he hasn't participated more. But yes, Riley Ridley is active again today because Darnell Mooney is out. So those are just a couple of the significant names as well that are going to be on this roster that haven't played a whole heck of a lot. And another name, too, just for the heck of it, and I don't expect that he's going to be a big part of anything that the Bears are doing, but they did elevate a defensive back by the name of Marquis Christian as well, and he has been activated for this game today as well.
You know, Grody, last week the Bears had to be aggressive on fourth down going against Aaron Rodgers, just expecting them to score touchdowns, and they couldn't just kick field goals. They knew they needed touchdowns. They didn't get them eventually. But do you expect to see the same thing today?
Yes, and I think even more, Olin. I mean, I asked the question to Mitchell Trubisky earlier this week. I said, you know, basically complimented them, saying, hey, you guys were pretty good on fourth down. You went for it a lot, were successful a lot until the one deadly fourth and one on which they were not successful and changed the whole course of the game. I said, hey, you guys have to go for it even more. And Mitchell Trubisky was like, yeah, probably go for it more. And not just that, not just going for it on fourth down, but also more downfield shots. And, you know, the Bears need a good game plan, but they also need to at least give the impression that they have the ability to go downfield. So even if they're not successful, I think they need to take some shots more than the one they took against the Packers, which incidentally was to Darnell Mooney. So, I mean, there is some risk-taking, some uncomfortable spots that the Bears might have to put themselves in, a little bit out of the norm, if they want to come out on top in this game.
Well, you mentioned Darnell Mooney and trying to get some deep shots. Who's going to be the guy to go to, and then who is maybe going to take Darnell Mooney's spot? Will they keep Miller kind of in his same role and roll somebody else out there? Or what do you see it's going to look like?
It's so interesting because I did an interview for the BBM pregame show one-on-one with Anthony Miller, and I was kind of asking him, hey, where you been? You know, like, what's been going on? And he said that since they changed the scheme of the offense, he's been kind of forced and told that he's going to be taking a lesser role, and he's had to do what he has to do. So, you know, and, you know, whether or not that is really more just a case of Darnell Mooney outplaying him, or if the Bears game plan was, you know what, we are going to go to Darnell Mooney and you're going to have to take a back seat, Anthony Miller. So does he automatically jump into that role of Darnell Mooney? Has he been targeted and practiced enough in that capacity to even be effective at this point? And I know he's played a lot and he's been out there plenty over the last 3 years, so we're not talking about some inexperienced rookie, but he just hasn't been featured much. I look back at the last five games of Anthony Miller, and the most he's been targeted in any game was five times. So, you know, there's a little bit of dust and rust maybe on Anthony Miller, and he's gonna have to play a bigger role today. I mean, he is, to me, without a doubt, the second most important wide receiver the Bears have today, this side of Allen Robinson. And then you start to talk about some of the other guys. Riley Ridley may have a play or two designed for him. Javon Wims, it's possible. But that's not always a great target for Mitchell Trubisky. So it's got to be Miller or nothing, I think, in terms of your number two guy.
Mark, unfortunately, I've got to let you go a little early today because we've got the shortened pregame with Bulls basketball coming up in about 25 minutes. But as we go, Saints and actives, no surprises. We knew Trey Hendrickson was out. Ken Crawley, a cornerback, offensive lineman Derek Kelly, defensive lineman Malcolm Roach, running back Ty Montgomery, and wide receiver Juwan Johnson. So the only significant inactive is Trey Hendrickson. Other than that, the Saints, as healthy as they've been. Before I let you go, Olin had asked me a question a few minutes ago. I want to make sure I didn't miss something. Bobby Massey remains on IR, does he not? I didn't see see a roster move where he had been activated?
I have not yet. As far as unless I missed something literally in the last 2 minutes while we've been talking, Bobby Matthews is still on injured reserve.
Okay, that's what I expected. Just wanted to make sure I didn't mess that up. Listen, man, thank you so much as always. Hopefully we get to do this again next week. We'll see what happens. Enjoy the football game. That is Mark Grody, normally on the field and part of the call with our buddies Jeff Joniak and Tom Theret, our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. You can get over there for the call, the hometown call of the Bears-Saints game. If you do, just make sure you get right back to 670 The Score as soon as you hear the final gun. We've got our prop swap post-game show with Patrick Manley and myself for 2 hours, and we will then hand it off to Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz for the post-game show for another 90 minutes of Bears talk. So the only place to do Chicago Bears football in town today is right here at 670 The Score, and we are going to be back to get a pick from Olin Kreutz, from Patrick Manley, from Dan Pompey, and myself on this game. That is coming up next right here at 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
That's like a bittersweet type of thing, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, my goal wasn't to go 8-8. Obviously, the goal wasn't to lose and do this and do that and have to rely on another team to help us get to where we wanted to be. But we're in the position to do some things now, and they let us in, and it's gonna be fun. We gotta make the most of this opportunity. That's all I can keep saying. You know what I'm saying? You gotta make the most of this opportunity.
Will Mack speaking with us on, I'm trying to remember now if that was Thursday or Friday, but talking about the getting ready for this game, getting into this game. It was actually Thursday when we spoke to Khalil. He sounds like he will be ready. We're sure that the entire Chicago Bears team will be ready. We are now ready for our fourth partner. Dan Pompey joins us every week here on the Bet River Sportsbook pregame show. Of course, Dan is a regular here at The Score. You can also read him at theathletic.com and follow him on Twitter at Dan Pompey. And Dan, hope all is well with you. It has been an impressive weekend of football so far with 5:25 to play. Ravens up 17-13 on the Titans. Three very competitive games yesterday. I for one, was not thrilled about the addition of the extra wildcard teams. Worried a little bit about what it would do to the quality of the playoffs. But so far, been one of the better wildcard weekends that we've seen in a while.
Yeah, it's been fun so far. Still obviously have the end of this Ravens-Titans game to go, and two more games later today, including the Bears. So, it's been interesting. You know, we haven't seen any shocking upsets, I don't think. I don't think the Rams over the Seahawks was shocking, but it was an upset for sure. We'll see if that changes going forward. But I think so far there's very little to complain about.
Dan, we got this big game coming up between the Bears and the Saints, and I want to get your perspective on Drew Brees. You always do a nice job of writing, you know, your writings about players and things like that. But let's say the Bears win and his career is over and he decides to retire. What are your thoughts on his career and what he's done for the NFL and what he means to the NFL?
Well, you know, I think obviously the statistics will tell you that he's one of the very best quarterbacks of all time. You know, he's got a Super Bowl victory. I think beyond that, he really kind of helped rescue a franchise at a very difficult time. After he came over from the Chargers and, you know, he was kind of on the ropes in his career. You know, he had a bad shoulder injury and they drafted his replacement and Philip Rivers. And a lot of people thought he might have been done and really never might have been the quarterback that some hoped he could be. But he went in there, and, you know, Katrina hit, and he was able to, restore hope in the franchise, in the people of New Orleans and Louisiana, and really lift an area. And I think he's stood for all the right things in his time there and done all the right things and been a great leader and a great representative of the National Football League.
All right, Dan. So now the easy question: how do you see Mitch Trubisky's career?
Hall of Fame.
Now for the easy one, Dan. What does this game mean, Dan, to Mitch? You know, just the fact that he statistically he hasn't been good against good football teams, and obviously they're shorthanded today. And you know, if the game goes the way most people expect, it's not all on Mitch, but. What do you think you have to see from him today if by any means his career will continue in Chicago?
Well, I mean, Olin, you hit it. The expectations are not high for him or for the Bears in this game. They're 10-point underdogs. I think, you know, if he does something good, if he even gets the Bears into the game and he's able to make some big throws and he's able to keep them alive well into the fourth quarter, you'll almost have a feel for him like you did Taylor Heinicke last night, you know, where everyone was kind of impressed with what he was able to do in the circumstances. So, you know, I don't know that this game is going to change the course of Mitch's career. I think it's likely it's going to probably continue on the course that it's been on. I think, you know, the people in Chicago feel like they've got a pretty good feel for what he is at this point. But, you know, I guess there is always an opportunity for him to change the narrative.
Dan, we've been kicking this around, breaking it down for the last 2.5+ hours, and Olin and Patrick and I think have pretty much agreed that at least a couple of the main keys, if not the two main keys, are Mitch is going to have to contribute with his legs as well as his arm. And defensively, they got to have one of their best days of the season rushing the passer. Those two things could make this a football game. I'm curious what you see as kind of the key matchups or the keys for the Bears being as competitive as these first four games have been.
Yeah, I think not only Mitch with his legs, but I think Montgomery is big in this game. You know, the Saints are 1-3 when a running back goes for 75 yards or more against them this year. So, you know, that has been an indicator that they struggle in that situation. And I think, you know, the Bears have to continue to use Montgomery the way they've used him in this last quarter or so of the season, give him a lot of work and count on that offensive line to carry the day, especially with Mooney out. You know, they're going to have one less weapon to throw to. And, yeah, the pass rush, I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously it would make a big difference. But the Bears, all they did was hit Breeze two times in the previous meeting. So I don't know what's different or why there should be a lot of encouragement about the Bears being able to get to him. I think I'll be surprised if they're able to get to him. And, you know, I think obviously if they can't get to him, it's going to put some stress on those replacement secondary players who are in there.
Yeah, and speaking of replacement players, and we were talking earlier about the missing Roquan Smith, obviously, and Darnell Mooney. Which one of those two players is a bigger loss for the Bears today, do you think?
Well, you know, I think Roquan is their defensive MVP this year, so I would go with him, especially against the team, you know, Kamara, Rush, or had, I think, total yards, 863 the first time these two teams played. So, you know, what's he going to have without Roquan? I mean, it's a huge loss. Mooney obviously has been a big contributor, but I think, you know, they're going to have to depend on – there's a lot of other people they could depend on to replace his production, including Anthony Miller, who's going to have to step up. But beyond him, you know, they're going to have to obviously – lean on Allen Robinson the way they have and maybe get some more tight end production, some more Montgomery production, maybe Cordero Patterson. Who knows? It'll be interesting to see if they involve Javon Wims in the game plan after what happened last time against this team.
Hey, Dan, you know, games like this, if you pull, you know, the upset that no one thinks you can do, you obviously need great leadership and great performances. Who's the one guy on offense and on defense you think would have to put their unit on their back for the Bears to pull this out?
Well, I think, you know, defensively, I would probably go with Akeem Hicks as a guy who I think could make a huge impact The reason, you know, Hicks to me is always such an important player, especially in a big game like this, is because he enables others to make plays. And, you know, by drawing attention, by collapsing the pocket, he's just so good at creating disruption that others benefit from. And, you know, if he has one of those Akeem Hicks games, you know, I think you could see Mack with a couple sacks. You could see Robert Quinn come to life. You know, you could see guys like Nichols and Urban have good games. And, of course, you know, when that happens, then you have maybe opportunities for interceptions and you have deflected balls and takeaways and that kind of thing. And offensively, you know, I'll go with Montgomery as the guy who, you know, I think what the Bears need to do is put it in his hands so it's not in Breeze's hands as much, not in Kamara's hands. You know, if they can control the clock like they tried to last week, you know, they actually did a good job. I thought they had the right idea against the Packers, and it worked. But, you know, it just wasn't enough to over – you couldn't keep pace with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense. And, you know, that's going to be a challenge again today, but I think it's your only hope.
Guys, one of the things that really surprised me preparing for this game, I just didn't realize that – and the Saints are really good. We all know that. And the weapons are tremendous on both sides of the ball. But, in fact, they've only played three teams all year long with winning records. They beat the Bucs twice. They lost to the Packers and Chiefs. The only 500 team they played was the Chicago Bears. Everybody else, nine losing teams. Bears at least have played a much tougher schedule with games two against the Packers and, of course, the Saints, the Rams, the Colts, the Titans, et cetera, et cetera. But with all that said, the Bears 10-point underdogs. It is pick time as we get ready to head to Chicago Bulls basketball. Olin, you have let us off all year long, so we'll let you go first. What do you think happens?
All right, I'm going to go with a change-up. I picked the Rams to beat the Bears, and they lost that one, and I just felt terrible. So I've been picking the Bears ever since, but that's led to a 3-6 record for the Chicago Bears. So I'm going to go against, you know, what I've been doing, and I'm going to say the Saints are probably going to win today, and hopefully that curses them like I've cursed the Bears.
So it's your
I
fault.
Like to think
it's Olin's fault.
I'll take the fall, Dan. I'll take it.
That's called all leadership. Right.
Piccolo. Consider me for the piccolo, please.
Dan, you are up next. What do you think happens down in New Orleans?
Well, you know, I mean, it's hard to envision a scenario in which the Bears are able to overcome the Saints down there. I think, you know, there's a lot of matchups that favor the Saints, and, you know, I mean, for the Bears to win, the game could be in the hands of guys like Anthony Miller, Josh Woods, Kendall Vildor, and Duke Shelley. I mean, that's tough. I mean, obviously the Saints are without one of their key players, too, in Trey Hendrickson, but the Bears, this is one of the only games all year where you really look at them and say injuries could really hurt them. And even if they were healthy, they'd be a long shot. I think, you know, for the Bears to have a shot at this one, they're going to need some kind of freaky plays that the ball bounces their way. They come up with some big turnover special teams plays, whatever it may be, that kind of are maybe not in the norm of what you expect in a Bears football game. So I've got the Saints winning this one 30-23.
All righty, Patrick.
Yeah, Dan, I agree with everything you said there, and it's the Saints team. They just, to me, they have too much firepower with everybody getting healthy, like Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees is getting healthier, going against our defense. And you named the names you named that I don't want to say them again because I don't want to jinx them. They've been giving this defense trouble, so I just think it's too much on the Saints side. Their defense is playing well, so I have the final score being 29-23, but I don't think it's going to be that close. I think that's late points by the Bears to get to that.
All righty, guys. Listen, the Saints are obviously a really good football team. They're also obviously a better team than the Bears. I would love to be able to pick the hometown team, but there's a reason they are 10-point underdogs. I do expect the Bears to show up. I think it should be a good football game, but I've got this one, Saints 34, Bears 27. And I am really hoping that all four of us are wrong, because not only would that make Bears Nation happy, but that means we'd have another Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show next week. While we wait to see if that will happen or not, Want to thank everybody for making today happen. Outstanding lineup of guests as always. Jermon Bushrod in the Where Are They Now segment. Of course, Mark Grody here. Dan Pompey, not really a guest, one of our co-hosts. Adam Studzinski, Studs, outstanding job behind the glass producing, engineering for Patrick and Olin. I want to remind everybody, post-game, immediately following the final gun, it's the Prop Swap post-game show right here at 670 The Score with Patrick and I taking your calls for a couple hours, and we will then hand it off to Anthony Heron and Olin Krutz, who will have the post-game show. So a ton more Bears talk coming. Right now, go, well, enjoy Bulls basketball for about 45 minutes or so, and then after that, it's going to be Go Bears. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.